Creativity takes many, many forms, and a whole bunch of those forms will get discussed in Ashland through next weekend. That's when Southern Oregon University hosts its second annual Creativity Conference. Speakers and workshop leaders from all over the world will guide discussions of the forms of creativity and how educators and mentors and more can channel creativity. The list of sessions runs for pages and pages and pages, more than 60, I was just told. Two guests tell us about the Creativity Conference. They are the co-executive directors, Daniel Denai, who is the Southern Oregon University Social Science Division Director. Welcome back, Daniel.
Thanks for having me.
And Mark Runko, who also teaches at SOU and is also a distinguished research fellow of the American Institute of Behavioral Research and Technology and editor of the Creativity Research Journal. Thank you both for being here.
Good to be here.
I could take all morning just giving your titles, but let's move ahead. How did the idea for the conference originally come together, Dan?
Well, it started a couple of years ago. We started looking at creativity as one of the, I guess, themes of the university. Somewhat coincidentally, through a friend of a friend and a former SOU faculty member, I got in touch with Dr. Runko, and we talked about bringing him to campus and talked about some possibilities of things that we could put together. And it took a while to kind of get things off the ground, but then we developed the idea of the Creativity Conference as sort of a baby step to building a building block, if you will, for additional types of programming. I guess it was 2 years ago, we kind of launched the idea of doing a creativity conference and leveraging Mark's extensive contacts and experience and expertise in the field. So we have just kind of lucky and very fortunate to have one of the leaders of the field living here in the Valley. So
Mark, those contacts extend, it looks like, all over the globe. We have people coming here from several continents anyway, don't we?
Yes, definitely. Last year we were a little over 30 countries, and I think this year we're pretty close. So continents, countries, plenty of them.
So the creativity, obviously, as we've mentioned, can take many forms. There's problem-solving creativity, artistic creativity. You can probably go down a longer list than I could come up with off the seat of my pants here. But is there any one in particular you're shooting at in the conference, or is it much more Catholic than that?
We're shooting for an interdisciplinary conference. So we've been careful to ensure diverse perspectives, and I think we've done well with that. That being said, there are a couple of emphases or features. The neurosciences have really come recently to the field and study of creativity and, of course, are doing some terrific things. So we have the president and president-elect from the Society for the Neuroscience of Creativity on a panel, as well as at least two other neuroscientists. We have several panels on creative universities because many universities around the world actually are like SOU, recognizing the value of creativity and recognizing what you can do about it on an educational level. So, and then we have some really big names giving keynote addresses as well, one focusing on motivation and schools and fulfilling creative potentials, and another one taking a more creativity in the sciences sort of perspective. So it's both breadth, but also there are some featured strands and panels.
The Creativity Conference at Southern Oregon University this weekend, July 11th through 14th. Mark Runko and Dan Denai are the co-executive directors. If you got questions for them, join us. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. And I'm glad you brought up neuroscience, Mark, because I was going to ask Dan about coming from the social sciences. Is thinking about creativity and its fostering coming from strictly within the field at this point, or are you going into areas like neuroscience to figure out structures in the brain that contain and create creativity?
Both. I think that the field of creativity research is somewhat young by many academic standards. Mark and I are both psychologists, and it came from that field in part, but you can see the expansion into other areas out of sheer necessity, and we talk at length about the need for folks to be able to think creatively, and that doesn't have any boundaries, and so we talk about creativity in fields that you typically don't look to, you know, STEM in particular. The challenges that we face, you know, the problems are very complex and they require creative solutions. And so one of the emphases of the conference, I think the reason we want it to be interdisciplinary is because we want the, you know, the research that we know about creativity to expand in those other fields out of sheer necessity. So we're working very hard to make sure that that happens. We're, you know, as Mark mentioned, we've got a number of people that are coming from the STEM fields. We have a lot of presentations that come from education. I think best parts of the conference is just the sheer number of people that we have coming from our K through 12 fields. And, you know, it's incredibly important that our young students learn those foundational elements of creativity.
Well, let's talk about that then. Who are the people who you'd most like to show up? Are they strictly educators? How many broad uses can be taken out of this conference?
Quite a few, surprising number. The obvious ones do include education, as Dan mentioned. One strong interest in application of creativity that has been recognized for a fair amount of time, although I'd say maybe 20 years, perhaps slightly more, is industrial organizational management. There's a huge interest in business and industry in creativity, people recognizing that creativity feeds and is required for innovation. So we have good representation there. And I think about education and organization and industry as practical applications. But jumping to, and you can go through a list, as Dan said, creativity for all problem solving, so virtually everyone every day. But you can now go down in the literature anyway and see creativity feeding dignity, meaning in life, coping and adaptation under an umbrella of what's sometimes called everyday creativity. So there are professional implications and applications, but also some that are not really manifest. They're really very personal, but at least as important.
So it sounds like, Dan, that bubble, that ceiling, whatever you want to call it, has been cracked. The idea that you can't use creativity in STEM fields, for example, that is getting pushed aside?
Yeah.
Not as fast as you'd like, it looks like.
Perhaps, yeah. Not as fast as I think either Mark or I would like it. But I think folks are increasingly realizing, you know, in part because our you know, industry and political leaders realize that this is a critical piece of you know, our ability to solve, you know, these very complex problems, and so when you put, you know, members of people, you know, people in, together in teams, we want them to be you know, thinking creatively and using those principles. And I would add to the other thing that's kind of interesting. We've got a fair number of presentations that focus on the measurement of creativity, and Mark can obviously talk at length about that. But one of the critical pieces is how do you actually measure it, and the creative ways that people go about measuring, you know, what creativity is and who is creative and that sort of thing.
So measures of creativity. This is pretty fascinating, Mark Runko.
It is, and it's a challenge, but an interesting one. Dan's absolutely right that it's, you know, creativity involved in finding ways to measure creativity, and there are debates about it. I actually have some concerns because some people say there are measures of creativity, which I don't believe. I think we have indicators and estimates, but true creativity is a very spontaneous, intrinsically motivated thing.
So, okay, so you can register that it's there, you're saying, but not necessarily the amount of
right,
it.
Right, exactly. And I like to say that we have reliable indicators of individuals or organizations' potential to be creative, but that doesn't guarantee that they will in fact be creative. But depending on how complex a model you build and if you can bring motivation and attitude as well as skill in, predictions are pretty darn good. In fact, they're better. Predicting creative performance from existing measures of creativity are much better than, say, predicting from an IQ test or GPA. Creativity tests are much better than, in fact, I'll add personality to that, than personality tests, IQ tests, or GPA in terms of predicting performance and activity in the natural environment.
We are talking to the co-executive directors of the Creativity Conference coming to Southern Oregon University this weekend, July 11th through 14th. Mark Runko, you just heard, Dan Denai. You can join the conversation. You have some questions about creativity and its fostering or what it means, really. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Dan, I'm sure I asked this when you guys were here last year, but it seems like the more broadly we define creativity, that more people can find that they have it and can make use of it. It seems like everybody has at least some creativity to do things, to solve problems, for example. And it doesn't have to be that they know how to play a guitar or sing an aria, anything like that.
Yeah, and I agree with that, and you're exactly right. And one of the things that we're working on here at SOU is how do you instill that in our students? And one of the things that we have worked on over the past couple of years is to explore not just how, you know, Mark had talked about the problems with measuring it, but we're also looking at how do you give our students the foundations of creativity? So, you know, let's just say, for example, maybe you're not you don't think of yourself as traditionally creative, you know, in the performing arts sense. But are there things that we can do to teach our students about the fundamentals, the importance of creativity and the fundamentals of creativity, how to build environments and how to build teams that would foster creativity? And you're exactly right. We're trying to kind of expand that definition just a little bit so that our students come out well-versed, and we talk about, you know, the language around creativity and that they're able to speak that and they're able to articulate that to, you know, when they go out and look for jobs, because we know that employers are looking for those types of skills and that type of understanding.
That gets more important over time, I would think. I mean, the more I've talked to people about, you know, how to apply for jobs and make sure you have marketable skills in the age of robots and AI is to make sure that you have some things that robots can't do. And it seems like creativity would be one of them.
Exactly. And the challenge is, you know, it is still kind of a complex topic, and being able to articulate that is very important. So I think one of the focuses going forward is to kind of teach our students that language and help them be able to articulate that, because we know you can look at this in, you know, 100 different articles that, you know, employers and political leaders are looking for people who can, if not be creative, then at least be able to speak the language of creativity.
Mark Runko, does creativity beget creativity? I mean, do you have to prime the pump, so to speak, to be able to get some water out?
Probably not. And I'll go with that direction because kids are amazingly creative. And in fact, listening to Dan talk, I was reminded, or maybe it was you, that not everyone is behaving creatively, even though everyone has the capacity for it. And sadly, there are many things going on in society, including possibly traditional education, that do inhibit creativity. There is a notorious fourth grade slump in creativity, where about 50% of the kids in most countries in the world seem to be highly original early on, and then they seem to internalize certain cultural values towards conventionality and conformity. And in schools, you know, they're sitting in rows and raising their hand. They seem to internalize the benefits of conventionality, and you see a significant drop in their creativity. Plus, even, you know, jump to the workforce. Some in many industries, if you're creative, you're an outlier, and you're a troublemaker, and people learn from that. So not everyone has the capacity, but not everyone actually expresses their creativity. And I'll add to that, not everyone is in a setting that supports supports their creativity.
So Dan Denai, how many people showed up last year to the Creativity Conference? How many people do you expect this year?
We're on track. Last year we had close to 300 all total, and we should be pretty close to that as well. We're getting more registrations by the day. We're into the last couple of days now, so we're looking at a lot of people that are local registering for the conference. I should point out, too, that we also have day rates. If you don't want to go to the whole four-day conference, mm-hmm. you can certainly register for one day.
What others cost? I mean, when I look at the depth of the program, it looks like it would cost a fortune.
Well, it's not a fortune, actually. It's $495 for the full 4-day conference. Mm-hmm. And we have a discounted rate for students, for SOU employees, for OLLI, for RCC, for many of our local educators. We are asking $325 for that, and the daily conference rate is $125.
Mm-hmm. How much creativity do people have to apply just to be able to figure out which sessions to go to, Mark Runco? This is such a deep program.
It is, and it's been a challenge for us. We have so many proposals come in, and we are relatively selective with what's accepted and what is eventually presented. But one thing we've improved upon over last year we had so many presentations, we often had five running simultaneously, which of course is unfair to the audience who they need to make decisions. And this year, I think we're maxed at three simultaneous. But nonetheless, it's 4 full days and 150, 160 presentations. And so, yeah, there is a little creativity there.
I'm not surprised to see a session on brainstorming here. Mental illness in eminent creative artists and scientists, a replication of Ludwig. Sounds really interesting. We're talking about Ludwig van Beethoven?
Right, and actually that's one topic. I mentioned the neurosciences coming to the study of creativity fairly recently, within the last 10 years. The organizational sciences and industry, maybe 20 years. You can go back, frankly, literally thousands of years, because the philosophers have often talked about the mad genius and the possibility that insanity is actually required for creativity. And this, can see this concept expressed regularly through history. So it's one of the things that was studied very early on as the field. There was a little bit of work in the 1950s, but it's one of the things people first turned to. Is it true that creativity requires insanity, or that there's some bidirectionality there?
I noticed, too, that in this age of people using the term creative destruction to talk about how the economy remakes itself, that there's a session called, "If It's Destructive, It's Not Creative."
Right. And that's, when we look to define creativity, we talk about the different elements of that definition. And one of the things is it has to add value in some way. And that's a critical piece of that. And so I'm assuming that's what the author is talking about.
Mm-hmm. It's actually related to various interesting topics, because Picasso supposedly claimed that all creativity is destruction. And I apparently there's a little bit of uncertainty about whether he said that. So many things were attributed to Picasso that he didn't in fact say, although he liked to be known for them. But related to that, one of the topics, not fields, but topics that really has gained quite a bit of attention is creativity in the moral domain and the dark side of creativity. Mm. So we have various, which could imply destruction, of course. Fascinating area of research, which has got a little representation here at the conference, perhaps with the destruction presentation.
All right. The conference runs July 11th through 14th. It is the Creativity Conference, the second of its kind at Southern Oregon University. We have been talking to the co-executive directors, Mark Runco and Dan Denai, both of them now affiliated through Southern Oregon University. Pleasure to have you both on. Best of luck with the conference.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.